This episode is brought to you in part by Swim. Here's the thing about wishlist apps. Most of them just sit there. A customer saves a product, and then nothing happens. Swim actually activates that data. When someone wishlists a product, you could trigger price drop or back in stock alerts and feed that intent directly into Klaviyo or your CRM. You're not guessing what people want because they've told you. Plus, customers can share wishlists for gifts, and your team can view them to offer personalized service online or in-store. And unlike cart abandonment, wishlist data is permission-based. These are people raising their hand saying, hey, I want this, just not right now. Swim's been around for over a decade. It powers 45,000 stores and installs in about 5 minutes. You could try it for free today at getswim.com/Kurt. That's getswym.com/Kurt. Today on the Unofficial Shopify Podcast, we're going to do a bit of a revisit. A year ago, we were joined by Jake Melman and Stephanie Moyle, who had started over the pandemic, you know, a functional mushroom brand. They sold these mushroom gummies. And we talked through that on the show last year and sort of the trials and tribulations and what they'd learned in 2 years of doing that too. Now they're back. And we're going to hear, you know, how that went, get a 1 year update on Troop on the mushroom gummy brand. And then they've gone ahead and started another brand. And from what I can hear, it sounds like they have picked yet another difficult category. But they've got, you know, the learnings from the previous brand, from the mushroom gummies. And so I want to hear, you know, what the thought process is there and what they're doing differently to have more success with their Shopify stores this time. Jake, you're joining me. Stephanie's not joining us today.
No, she's not going to be on today. Yeah.
Give me the overview. What's Troop sell? And in the last year, you know, what's changed? What's new for you?
Yeah. So over the last couple of years, since we talked, a lot has changed for sure. So with Troop, the functional mushroom gummies, as we were launching that and running that, that was a tough category, but we had a great product, great brand, great reviews. People really loved it. We just really didn't know what we were doing on the marketing side. You know, we were barely running any ads. We didn't work with any agencies. We tried to do everything in-house. We focused on the wrong initiatives, like doing more community stuff and sampling that didn't directly generate revenue. So we didn't really get our engine. We didn't get the rocket ship off the ground per se. So that's kind of what a major learning that we had in that business, that you need your KPIs to be dialed in. You need your cost of acquisition to be dialed in. You need your LTV to be dialed in. And we didn't have those things. So
let me stop you there on KPIs. This is a thing I think a lot about. You know, what's your North Star KPI? What are a few of the KPIs that you're like, okay, now with experience, this is what we keep track of? You know, is it MER, media efficiency ratio? What is it?
We mostly look at three main ones, and that's the CAC, cost of acquisition, the LTV, lifetime value, and then orders per customer. So we definitely want, and that's a retention based. So which also factors into the LTV. So those are the main ones that we're looking at. Also, average order value is a pretty critical one as well. But that is kind of can be dialed in or out depending on your LTV. So those are what we look at now first and foremost, and then we work backwards from those KPIs. So for instance, we want to get an AOV of $135, and that would be, you know, bundling. So you would use bundles for that. You'd use an intro offer. You'd add more value. You'd use free gifts, whatever you can do to get that average order value up. And then LTV is, I think, the most critical of all of the metrics. And this is where, you know, it factors in the AOV, it factors in the orders per customer as well. So this is where we want to up the orders per customer. So we offer free retention gifts. You know, on month two, you can offer a free gift. You can offer discounts the longer they're with you to increase that retention, increase the orders per customer. And then that in turn increases the LTV. So we want our LTV to be, the North Star would be over a $300 LTV on Troop. I think we are about half that right now, 150. So we're still working on boosting the orders per customer there. And we have a lot of initiatives that we're going to be working on to get there.
Thank you. I appreciate the transparency on the numbers. I'm so thrilled to have someone that like knows their KPIs and what those goals are.
It's nice to know. Yeah.
Yeah, quite beneficial, really. The one I wonder about that not everybody is able to figure out is contribution margin. Just out of curiosity, do you know or have an idea of contribution margin for your product?
Yes. I actually was just looking at our contribution margin. I believe it was at like around 30%. I need to actually check this. Yeah, contribution margin is definitely a more, I think, challenging one to get your head around. But that is a very, very important metric. Just to make sure like the marketing that you're doing is actually efficient. Let me see if I can pull.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, all right, I sold a product. What is my top line revenue of that on that? And then subtract, you know, cost of goods sold and my variable cost to it. And now I know, all right, this is how much revenue is left over, how much profit on the product that then is going to contribute to being able to, you know, cover my total profitability in that business. And you know, what you quickly discover is, well, not all products are made alike. You know, many often businesses don't, you know, you have an idea of the overall health, but across different SKUs, oh, you know, which one contributes the most? Well, okay, then maybe merchandising-wise or marketing-wise, that's what we prioritize. That's the advantage to knowing it. And then, of course, avoiding, you know, the dreaded scenario of you're actually losing money making sales, which can occasionally happen. But when you know contribution margin, stuff like that doesn't happen
right,
anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah, actually, no, I'm sorry. Our contribution margin is at 76%.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent.
So we have been
that's
able to radically increase that as of late. You know, we've been able to reduce our product cost without reducing the quality, which is always fantastic. Our marketing has gotten significantly more efficient. So yeah, 76 contribution margin.
Because last time we talked, you know, the thing you were really struggling with, or that you were like trying to crack the code on, was Meta. You know, getting running ads and then getting profitable acquisition on that first sale, or at least break even. And then what's wonderful about having a consumable good like you do is, you know, then making it up on subsequent purchases. Where, you know, Meta just gets harder and harder for everybody, it seems. Were you able to crack that code?
In a way, yes. You know, the marketing that we were doing, because we made changes on our landing pages, actually, we significantly increased the AOV, and that took us over the profitability on the Meta. So while the Meta was the same on like the CPMs and the ads, we actually became profitable by changing the landing pages. And we defaulted people to a 3-month subscription, which people really liked, a quarterly subscription. They got a discounted price per unit, and we got a higher AOV and a longer lifetime of the customer because of that. So in the long run, it was profitable in LTV versus previously when we were just selling one unit at a time. So we were able to crack the code in that way. But we are also, we've really cracked the code on Amazon. We have like, I think 20 to 25% profit margin, net profit on that with marketing. So that's also great.
Wow. Yeah, that's very good. So one thing I want to call out here, when we say mushroom gummies, these are non-psychedelic, because currently, even though it's probably illegal in some states, you know, depending where you are, it's readily easy to get to buy hallucinogenic mushrooms off the internet now. So these are not that.
There's nowhere that is legal.
They're just advertising it. It is the craziest thing.
Yeah, people are wild. People be wild. You know, people are going down that path of just like just doing it now and like rolling the dice and hoping. We're more, you know, getting prepped for the long run. Like if we have successful businesses in these verticals, that when it becomes actually legalized, we can have a real business that scales into that versus just doing it on the underground and hoping and praying, you know. That's not in our opinion, not a great strategy. So, you know, with Troop, we are one of the best functional mushroom gummies. And so that's like for the health benefit, it's more of like a medicinal. So, you know, when psilocybin and magic mushrooms get legalized, we think we can offer more medicinal side. And then with Silly Goose, which is our latest product that we just launched and brand, that is a non-alcoholic functional beverage. And that we also want to one day have those psychedelic mushrooms in it when they're legalized and have that as an option for people to drink. So we're trying to cover a lot of these different verticals in preparation for that eventuality.
Last time we were talking about, it was like Meta, was the thing you were trying to get to work out. Sounds like you did that. But it doesn't necessarily scale. You know, if I'm able to get it to where it's like, okay, it's profitable, but then how far could we scale it before things get weird?
Yeah, exactly. So the scaling it, that's another challenge because your efficiency decreases as you scale. So you have to just tweak these KPIs. That's really it. And you have to increase the LTV somehow. You have to increase the orders per customer somehow, to increase the AOV somehow. And if you can do that, then you can continue to scale up. You can scale more efficiently. And then on Meta, it gets even deeper into, you know, then there's a whole universe within Meta itself, like just getting better ads, the better ads that have a better click-through rate. You increase the click-through rate, you get more clicks, you get more opportunities to sell. You increase your conversion rate on your website, you're doing better. If you increase the watch time on your ads, you'll get better CPMs. You know, you get better CPMs. So there's so many factors at play, and you just have to keep watching all of these KPIs and keep tweaking until it pencils.
No, absolutely. And it's like you have to start with, you know your numbers, and then working, you know, from there, everything's a formula, whether it's, you know, an algorithm on a social media network or otherwise, it is all a formula. And so it sounds like you're working that out. The other thing, you know, we'd mentioned before was channel expansion and marketing channel expansion or acquisition channel. And you appeared on my show because one of the things you were doing was going on podcasts as a way to get the word out about the brand and drive brand awareness. Then you mentioned Amazon. Any experience on channel expansion we want to share? Are there other channels that you're like really, you know, surprised by working?
Yeah.
App Lovin'?
Yeah. Yeah, App Lovin', we're looking into that. We are with a couple other similar platforms, such as like Clickly, and they're awesome because you only pay them per acquisition. So they're actually doing display ads on many, many different websites, and you literally only pay them per acquisition. We're working on getting onto a new channel called Nift, which is something kind of cool where this company gives out free gift cards and people can claim them for your product. And they actually buy it on your website. So it's not like they're buying it through a different channel. They're buying it through your website. So you get all the data. And I would say channel expansion is good. I mean, the main channels, Amazon, Meta, TikTok, it's hard to beat those. Those are just like, those are really dominant channels for a reason. They have the most people, the most scale. They are also challenging. So I definitely always recommend launching on as many channels as you can. However, it's also, if you were just successful on Meta alone or just successful on Amazon alone, you would have an extremely successful business. So I wouldn't say make channel expansion the priority. I would say as a added benefit, as a supplement to the main channels.
I agree with that. You know, and the other problem, like there's only so many channels you can add before it becomes a distraction, right? Or, you know, it's happening at the detriment of other channels because you can't focus. You know, the other advice I've heard for people is like, well, you know, you're only allowed to do your main channel, whatever that is. In this case, it's going to be a Shopify online store. And then, you know, if you can get that to 1 million, then now you can consider other channels. And then, you know, if you can get those to 1 million, then you can go on to another one. I think those hard and fast rules of like, well, you have to do this or else you can't do X, I think they're a little silly, but I appreciate the...
If you can launch more channels, if you have the time, get them set up, because a lot of channels don't require any maintenance. You just set it up and then you're on the channel. So if you can do that, then that's fine, because you will be in more places. You'll have more backlinks. People will be finding you from different locations. However, yeah, I wouldn't prioritize focusing on these smaller channels versus just getting your Shopify store dialed in, getting your conversion rate higher and your KPIs more dialed in.
Here's a word from our sponsor, Zipify. Hey, the holidays are over. Traffic's down, ad costs are still up, and you're staring at Q1 wondering how to keep momentum going. Here's the move. Stop leaving money on the table with every order. One-click upsell automatically increases average order value by up to 30% with AI-powered upsells across your entire customer funnel. Launch pre-purchase and post-purchase upsells for every product in your store in one click. Customers get personalized offers and spend more as a result. Unlike other apps, you only pay for those results, not views. It takes under 2 minutes to set up, and it starts working immediately. Q1 doesn't have to be a slump. Make every order count while you rebuild traffic. Go to zipify.com/Kurt for your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. And let's start the year profitable. On the supply side, you know, we've been dealing with tariffs has just been an ongoing concern and complaint and risk for folks, as well as, you know, when we talked 2 years ago, you had issues with manufacturers, with like 6 manufacturers. I would imagine, you know, on the supply side, how have things, you know, have bumpier, smoothed out? We're getting the hang of it. What's going on there?
Yeah, much smoother. We have our manufacturers, our go-tos. They know what's up. They're much, much better. So that's all been smoothed out for sure, which is really nice. I would always recommend going with the quote unquote more expensive, but the better manufacturers, because in the long run, it'll save you a ton of money. And then if you go with the bigger manufacturers, you can actually get the cost reduced significantly. So, you know, our costs were lower and our quality was better.
That's good advice. Okay. The market itself, you know, that space has matured, and more people are aware of benefits of adaptogens, of, you know, the things that are in mushrooms, are more interested in it as a supplement. That could be a double-edged sword. More competitors, but also more awareness in the market. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, definitely it has matured. I think, though, even though it's matured, it's still nowhere near the prevalency of the previous quote-unquote supplements, the vitamins that you take, the multivitamins that they found out don't actually do anything. So I think that even though it has matured and there's more competition and everything, the scale of the growth of the market outpaces the competition. So the demand is so high that there's still demand, and the demand is growing as well. It's still penetrating new markets constantly. It's still making its way to the mainstream even more. You know, I don't think there's even any brands in Costco yet, things like that. So just now, functional mushrooms are entering Target. Now they're pretty prevalent in Whole Foods. But I do think that there's still a lot of demand out there and a lot of market out there.
And you also have a new brand now that you've launched, Silly Goose, drinksillygoose.com, PSI. With that brand, you know, why do this? You know, life's hard enough running one business. Now you want to do two? And then on top of it, we're going to ship liquid? Oh my gosh, liquid is heavy.
We're sick.
But like, you know, take me back to that moment. We're like, hey, you know, let's do a beverage brand.
Yeah. So, you know, a major part of this brand is in the mushroom space. You can't just look at functional mushrooms and ignore the psychedelic side. You know, psychedelic mushrooms are a massive, massive part of the fungi kingdom and why we got into mushrooms in the first place. It's, in my opinion, the most healing mental health medicine on earth, and it grows everywhere around the world for free. So it's extremely powerful and it's extremely important, and it's going to become the next wave of mental health medicine. So that was always something that we had in mind when we were starting Troop and we were doing the functional mushroom gummies. A major part, and you see this a lot in LA and California, that people use psychedelics for, is that they use psychedelics, they will microdose for socializing. So instead of drinking alcohol, they will take a microdose of psilocybin or psychedelic mushrooms to go and be social. And when you take a microdose, you're not tripping, you're not like in your head so much. You actually feel super euphoric and talkative and chatty, and it feels very nice. So we had seen a lot of people, and we saw this very actively in our community and communities around the world, that people were drinking less alcohol. People did not want to drink alcohol anymore. They wanted an alternative, but they wanted something that they could actually feel. They didn't just want to be dead sober and drink a glass of water at the bar. So there was this huge gap in the market. There was people selling functional beverages like Hi-Yo, and they don't do anything. They're just basically a supplement in a can, and it doesn't get you buzzed, doesn't make you feel anything. And then all the way on the other side is alcohol. People are drinking and throwing up and going to the hospital and poisoning themselves and destroying their kidneys and livers and brains. So we looked at this and we were like, well, our original goal through all of this was to offer, you know, use mushrooms and use these functional plants and fungi as an alternative to alcohol. So we said, you know, the market seems ready. Other people were doing it, like another company called Breeze, who was blowing up and doing super well. And it looked like the market was finally ready to get off alcohol, to try something new. And so we decided that this is our time. So we launched Silly Goose. We started working on that probably about 9-10 months ago. We launched about a month ago, and people have been really, really loving it. It's, you know, this functional beverage that actually gets you buzzed. We use a plant called Kana. That's our secret ingredient that works on the serotonin receptors in your brain so that it's uplifting, it's heart opening. You feel more talkative, you feel more chatty, you feel less anxious. You don't have that voice in your head as much that's saying, don't say that, don't do that. You're kind of just like more present. And that's the feeling that people want from alcohol. That's the feeling you get when you take your first two drinks and you're getting that flush feeling and you're saying things that you normally wouldn't say. And that's the fun of alcohol. And then alcohol is a really, really declining benefit after the first two drinks. So yeah, we give you that feeling without needing alcohol. So that's where Silly Goose came in. And yeah, so it's beverages is extremely hard and shipping liquids is extremely hard. And, you know, we just decided let's just go to the end game first. And that is the end game. If we can replace alcohol with something even remotely comparable that people can feel and it works and is nice, then the market is so massive for that we can't go wrong. So that's kind of the philosophy. I will say it is hard and it will be hard. This time though, we have a lot more experience. We have a lot more knowledge. And something that we learned from our previous business is that experience is more valuable than money. So we are bringing on also the top beverage people who have exited for multi-billion dollar companies in beverage. And we're working with them and we're talking to the founder of Breeze as well and getting information and getting knowledge and experience to fill those gaps in the things that we don't know so that we can skip a lot of the steps that we ran into with Troop.
And you mentioned Breeze, the founder of Breeze. We had Aaron Nosbish, who we had on here.
Oh, nice. This podcast, yeah, before. He's a good friend of ours. So,
yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
But you're right about the trends on drinking, you know, in the U.S. They're at record low drops. You know, it's 54% of adults now drink, which, you know, that has dropped considerably. And then, like, that's all the adults. If you look at, like, 30 and under, then it really goes down. You know, is that, you know, Gen Z, Gen Alpha grew up knowing that there is no amount of, like, moderate drinking is not good for you. All drinking is bad. And, you know, that's had an impact on their consumption behavior. And so, but they also have different attitudes on, you know, other mind-altering substances, especially THC, which is what's in Silly Goose Euphoria. Oh my gosh. And I am no stranger to my friend THC. And this is hemp-derived. Okay, that gets us into discussion of the farm bill. What's going on with that? Is this, how are we able, we're mailing THC in a drink.
You know, we launched with two SKUs, two versions of our drink. One is with THC, the other is not. They're the same otherwise. They both have Kana and Lion's Mane. So Kana does have its own effect that gives you this anti-anxiety, heart-opening effect. And then we paired that on Euphoria with THC. The combination of those three active ingredients, the THC, the Kana, and the Lion's Mane, is designed to get as close to mimicking a microdose of psilocybin as possible. The THC gives you that high, like much stronger high. And then the Kana reduces the anxiety that a lot of people feel from THC. So you just get the euphoria and the high without the anxiety. And then the Lion's Mane is for reducing some of that brain fog that you get from THC. So it's this very clear-headed buzz. We don't even like to call it like a high. It's almost a totally new feeling. So that is the euphoria. And then our product called Silly is with Kana and Lion's Mane, no THC. So that is it's a lighter feeling. It's a lighter experience that doesn't last as long as the THC version, but both are very nice. I personally am a bigger fan of the euphoria with THC. Stephanie is a bigger fan of the Silly without THC. And it's just, you kind of choose your own experience there. But yes, the farm bill is definitely something on our mind. This was officially banned and will be going away in November of this year, which is really
assuming
unfortunate.
Assuming nothing changes between now and then.
Assuming nothing changes, then THC, Delta 9 hemp-derived THC will be going away. We had always planned for this. That's why we launched the non-THC and we're really focusing on that. We have also seen that when it comes to socializing, people prefer the non-THC. Like at parties, at events, people are much preferring the Kana version because a lot of people aren't really familiar with socializing while you're high on THC. So we have that option ready and available so that we can be prepped for this just in case it does go away. But we are feeling pretty confident that something's going to change. And I'll tell you the reason. It's not because the government has realized that, oh, THC is actually a million times safer than alcohol and they care so much about the people. Nothing to do with that whatsoever. It is strictly because alcohol sales are down and big alcohol is hurting. Big alcohol is hurting. Big alcohol lobbied to get this banned. And I believe that they're going to use this year in this time frame to purchase a lot of the brands like ours, like Breeze, to get into the space. And then they're going to do a beverage carve out in the farm bill that says, okay, no other THC except for beverage. So all the alcohol sales that have disappeared, they're looking for something to replace that with. We think that because of that reason, there will be a beverage carve out that once they have significantly bought into our industry, that they'll feel comfortable releasing our government to give it back to the people.
And it sounds like a little bit like conspiracy theory, but I fully believe you're right. You know, my personal opinion is, yeah, this is the result of lobbying. Is what did this.
I mean, there's plenty of evidence of that, of the big alcohol lobbying to get this banned. Yeah, plenty of evidence on that.
I believe.
So, yeah.
The Silly Goose site, drinksillygoose.com, very good looking. I love the size quantity selector that's a slider. And then, you know, I could choose how many cans I'm going to order. I could buy 4 cans. I could buy 96 cans. And then instead of quantity, I just rotate through, you know, like units, like 4, 8, 12, 16. And it was very clever is when I hit 20 at $120 for the set, it says it's marked most popular, which is always smart. Like you're giving multiple options to people. No one likes decisions. We're bad at it as humans. And so just telling me this is the one most people pick. Okay, great. I didn't have to think about it. I'm just clicking it. And as soon as I click it, I see, oh, you know, my purchase options change and it says save 25% if I subscribe and buy 20. Well, you know, with something like this, you're very dependent, especially on that first order, for that AOV to be high enough to help offset our customer acquisition cost. I imagine that's part of how we got to how this product form is designed.
Yes, definitely. And you're pointing out a lot of interesting points here. So the slider, I came up with the slider. I was super stoked on that because I have never seen that before on an e-com site. Unfortunately, we probably are going to change that for a number of reasons. One, we think it might be too many options of quantity versus just offering three options to make it a bit simpler. Like you can just start with the intro, the four pack. You can start with the most popular middle ground, like a 20 pack, or then we can offer some kind of others page for party packs. Like if you want to get your whole party silly, you can do that somewhere else. So it might be a little too many options. Also, the slider does not slide. Like it just kind of, you slide it and it doesn't have a slide animation. So that's also another challenge that is just like, okay, so it turned out to be a more challenging concept than I thought. That's okay. We're going to have the slider back one day for sure when we can really develop that into something that is a bit easier to understand and maybe have some kind of animations on it and make it a little bigger and more comprehensive. But I love the slider, but I think we're going to test out having a different version without it. And then, yeah, the AOV is another interesting point because, you know, coming from Troop, we found much greater success when we defaulted to a larger pack. People were buying a 3-month supply. It was $120 and we had a lot more success there. However, we're seeing with Silly Goose that our conversion rate is extremely low right now. I mean, we just launched, so we're figuring things out. But what we got feedback on from other beverage companies is that people might be, one, they don't know what this is, so they want to try before they buy, essentially. So they want to get the smaller pack, and they might be a little bit afraid of that initial price of $120 on subscription, $160 not subscription. So a lot of our traffic right now is coming from TikTok, which are very price sensitive as well. So we are going to be doing the almost reverse of the AOV specialty. And that is, we are going to be offering a welcome offer that's like $18. So we're going to be significantly discounting our product for people to be able to try it. Our product is amazing. It's an incredible drink. It actually gets you buzzed. You feel super nice. It tastes amazing. It has 40 calories, 0 grams of added sugar, no harmful ingredients. So the product really stands on its own. And we think that once people try it, they're going to want more. So we are going to be testing out moving forward a different option of a very low AOV, but trying to increase the number of acquisitions and then trying to win on the LTV side. So really pushing them to purchase multiple times, really focusing on retention to get people coming back to buy more. Because the product is so good, we think we can win on that side. Also, because this is such a brand new category, nobody's really even heard of Kana yet, and the THC drinks are still growing. We think that getting more acquisitions, getting more people talking about it and trying it versus just winning on the first order AOV, we think that that's going to be a better outcome in the long run for our year one.
Man, those order change emails suck. They're always like, I ordered the wrong size. I meant to change the shipping address. Oops, I was drunk. Instead of making customers email you that stuff, let them fix it themselves with Cleverific. Cleverific is a self-service portal that lets customers edit their orders without bugging you. That means you get fewer headaches, customers get faster fulfillment, and there's fewer returns overall. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their support tickets by 99% with Cleverific. You want in on that? Get 50% off the pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Done. Problem solved. That's Cleverific. You know, that Kana extract sounds legit. Seems legit.
It's legit. Yeah.
I don't have any experience with that. I was just, you know, I had Googled it. I was curious about it, and it seems like, oh, you know, this would be a true functional replacement minus, you know, negative effects of alcohol. It's kind of clever. Okay. Interested.
It's very clever. And we're the first like major brand to incorporate Kana into the drink. And so we have the bit of a first mover advantage here. If we can do it right.
You got to do the education where it's like, they don't have experience with it. They don't, like, a friend has not mentioned it. You know, that could be tough when you're the first.
Definitely. And, you know, Breeze was a real inspiration to us, and they were the first. They weren't the first Delta 9 drink by any means. However, they were the first to make it really a sophisticated product, like a very sophisticated product, very excellent packaging, marketing, brand, just very, very sophisticated. So they were the first in that. And they've run into a lot of challenges that we get to just skip because we saw what they did. We saw the lessons they learned. And so honestly, being second mover in this space has been awesome. But on the Kana side, we are the first mover in the beverage. However, there's other companies that are selling Kana gummies that we're learning from, and we're using that education to fuel our sales as well. So Kana is making its way into the market. Education around that, a lot of different brands have begun doing that. We're just joining them. And, you know, Silly Goose, the thing is about our name specifically, the name elicits the feeling. You know, you just hear a drink called Silly Goose and you can already kind of imagine.
It's fun.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be silly. So we're really capitalizing on that because we think that basically we want people to trust us on the feeling. So if you look at the front of our can, it says feel state. And then it says,
oh yeah,
it euphoria, does say feel state, euphoria, feel state, silly. We want people to trust us on that feel state versus being so focused on the ingredients. We want Silly Goose to be a company that sells feel states versus sells ingredient beverages. So when you buy a Euphoria Silly Goose, you know you're going to be euphoric. When you buy a silly by Silly Goose, you know it's going to make you feel a little extra silly. So we're going to eventually launch more feel states, sleepy, sexy, different benefits with using functional mushrooms, plants, any type of functional, and whatever we can give people to achieve those feel states. So that's kind of what we want people to just trust us on. But of course, we use really high quality ingredients, and we give more descriptive explanations of the ingredients on our website as well.
That's very clever. I like that approach of like focus on, yeah, feel state. That's good. Okay, with marketing this one. That here we're selling age-restricted good, and it's mind-altering, and we've got THC listed. So immediately, like, Meta's not going to want to touch this. Advertising becomes tougher for you, I imagine.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, working with the THC is, pardon my French, it's a bitch. It is terrible. So we got our Shopify payments got removed. So we can't use Shop Pay. We can't use a lot of the like Afterpay, Klarna. We can't use a lot of those type things. Stripe won't touch us. Meta actually does allow THC because it is federally legal. You just have to be really careful with how you describe this. So, you know, a lot of people are advertising on Meta, like THC drinks and gummies and whatever. So we are advertising on Meta. It's just, you have to be very careful with the language. You can't directly say THC. You have to say broccoli or gardening or all these different euphemisms. So that's interesting. But we're looking into this if we're going to maybe launch a separate like ad account and a separate Shopify store for the non-THC, just because the non-THC we can scale so much easier and faster with no blocks, you know, no blockers whatsoever. The Kana version is fully legal everywhere. We can be in stores. We can sell that in Whole Foods. We can sell it anywhere, and we can advertise anywhere. So that's kind of where we're looking into that if we want to make some changes there, just because the THC has been such a challenge already. And with this ban in place, I mean, it could be more challenging. Or if they do change something and there's a carve out for beverage, it could get way easier. So, you know, we're keeping our chips on the board just in case, and we're going to see what happens this year.
What's the one hardest thing about launching Silly Goose? Has it just been, you know, dealing with THC and restrictions, additional restrictions around that, or something else?
I would say that has been one of the most challenging pieces. Yeah. Yeah. The THC, because like our manufacturer was like, oh, I'm actually can't manufacture this after December 31st. So we're like, oh shit. So we have to manufacture a huge amount right now before we technically wanted to, because they couldn't manufacture it again. So now we have to go to another state with manufacturers who are kind of more friendly to THC. And the, like I said, our shop pay is removed, our shop payments. So it's been challenging. The THC side has been definitely challenging. The shipping, I mean, everyone told me, oh, shipping's so expensive with drinks. That was true. Another thing that I didn't specifically think about is that the drinks are so heavy, and when we go and do demoing ourselves, we have to carry that. So that hasn't been another thing. You know, I'm wearing a backpack with like 30 cans in it. So heavy. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't think about this side. You know, like I just thought about shipping to the customer, which is, I don't even touch. That's from our fulfillment center. But with the weight of the drinks, like, you know, I wanted to bring 50 to a party, like, that's heavy, you know?
Yeah. As soon as you're shipping liquids, like, oh, you quickly realize how heavy water is, right? It's like 8 pounds, a gallon's 8 pounds. It adds up quick.
Oh, yeah.
What's nice, though, you got cans, so you're not worrying about, you know, if it were glass, then, okay, now we're also adding fragility on top
right.
of it. Really make
yeah.
things extra difficult.
Yeah.
Okay, if you had unlimited budget right now, but you can only spend it on one thing, where are we spending it?
It's a great question. If I had unlimited budget, I would always have to say Meta. You know, I think the scale of Meta is so massive that if you can succeed on Meta, if you can have a profitable ads campaign and scaling there, then that is where you will have the most impact. I mean, you can be a hyper successful company with just Meta alone, you know, on Facebook and Instagram. So I would say Meta, and then I would say TikTok. I do think we're going to be very popular on TikTok, just given our brand name, our branding, packaging, product. Like you said, the Gen Z is not drinking anymore, and they're primarily on TikTok. So I would start with Meta, just because even though Gen Z is not drinking, and even though they fit the target audience so perfectly, they have like 1/10 of the money that boomers have, you know, or even less. So you also have to think about who can actually buy your product, you know, who's actually purchasing product. So that, and the baby boomer generation is primarily on Meta. So I would say Meta for that question.
Yeah, which makes sense. And, you know, out of curiosity, we're in our local liquor store, Binny's, and I was with a fellow Facebook marketer, Andy Bedell, and who's run several Shopify stores. And there was a woman there who was giving out samples of a THC infused beverage. And so we're like, we did not reveal, you know, what we do and who we were, but we were just asking leading questions. And she goes, you know, my best customers are little old ladies. I said, what?
Yeah.
She says, yeah, it's people who are like, they're curious, you know, about THC potentially or alcohol alternatives, but, you know, aren't going to go to a dispensary, aren't going to go seek that out on their own. But suddenly a sample presented to them in a store, now they're interested and they buy. According to, you know, my sample size of one, which was a sales rep I talked to, but, you know, it was just interesting confirming what you had discovered here.
Our parents' generation, they're also seeing this anti-alcohol movement. You know, they're also feeling that they don't want to feel hungover anymore. They don't want to take the health risks and the health detriments of alcohol. So it is spreading to these different generations, and that, unfortunately, they have, I think what is like 70% of all the wealth in the country is just the baby boomers. So there's also that. You have to think about that when you're making your business decisions, even though our product aligns so well with Gen Z, and we're really pushing hard on TikTok to cater to Gen Z and to get popular there. We still think the engine, the major revenue driving engine, will be from the older gens.
Yeah, no, and I don't think that's crazy. Is there, looking forward, is there a milestone that, like, if you hit it this year, next year, where you'll go, okay, we made it? Was there something, some event, some milestone, some KPI you have in mind? You're like, yes, this worked.
Yeah, but it's just totally insane. You know, we want to do at least 10 million in year one in revenue.
I was going to say, if it was, all right, if you said we want to do 10 million, I'd be like, well, that's not crazy. In year one, all right, you're playing on hard mode now.
Yeah, we're playing on ultra hard mode. You know, we only projected, like, to our investors, we projected 2. But we're playing on hard mode, and we want to scale fast, and we want to do this quick. You know, we want to move fast, utilize all the connections, utilize all of our resources, all the experience we have, and do this the right way, but do it really quickly. And like I said at the beginning, we have support from, you know, founders who have exited for multi-billions, and we have support from current founders who are running major brands like Breeze. And so we are able to skip a lot of steps and learn a lot of the knowledge from them so that we can get to that number. It's just going to be a matter of how efficiently we can build these systems and how efficiently we can market in these next few months.
What's the thing that keeps you up at night?
Our conversion rate. It's really low right now. It's really low because, I mean, if you look at our PDP, like, we have almost no information on there. So we're about to launch, hopefully this next week, about to launch our new PDP with lots more information, a lot more call outs, a lot more assurances as well, you know, like money back guarantee, everything of that nature, just to get people to try it. Also, we're changing the offer to get people buying because we're getting a lot of traffic, but I want people to be buying and trying this and sharing with their friends. Because it is such a good product, we think that we fill this market demand so perfectly that we just need people to try it. So right now we're in a major, like, sampling phase as well, where we're pushing really hard to get people trying this product just once. And then we think people will buy it once they've tried it.
I hope so. You know, I think they will. Yeah, geez. Okay. I need a final question here. What, in retrospect now with Troop, what's one thing you would have done differently?
I would have invested 100% of all of the money that we raised into Meta. Yeah. I would have done nothing else but secure that one channel and then go to other channels after that. But if we had just hired a marketing agency to just set up the ads for us and make UGC and pump out ads, we would be an extremely, extremely successful company. But we didn't run any ads for 18 months into the business, no ads whatsoever, because I honestly, it's like, I don't even know. Like, you can't ask somebody who just was doing something out of total randomness why they did it. You know, we literally just didn't know what we were doing.
Well, you know, now hindsight's 2020, so it's obvious to you now. At the time, it was not obvious.
Yeah.
Okay. If people want to try Silly Goose, where are they going?
Drink Silly Goose. Drink and then Silly, PSILLY, and then Goose, GOOSE.com. DrinkSillyGoose.com. The silent P, of course. And that is where the best place you can buy it right now. We're working on getting into stores in the future, and we'll keep everyone updated. You can also check out our socials at Drink Silly Goose on Instagram and TikTok. We're also putting out a lot of organic content. We're doing a lot of fun skit-based ads. We're doing a lot of comedy. Because we are Silly Goose, we have to be silly and we have to be fun. So that's what we're all about, is edutainment, teaching people about these compounds in a fun and entertaining way, and getting people off alcohol and getting people to try something better.
Very cool. Yeah, no, I'm here for it. Man, I got to, you know, it's the Kana. That's funny. It's like the Kana. Like, I've had THC drinks. All right. They're not new to me, but Kana plus Lion's Mane, you know, that suddenly I'm like, oh, you know, I think I'm actually going to order this.
It's interesting. It's a great feeling. It is a really, really nice feeling. You feel just like a smile just comes to your face, like automatically. You're just like, feel so nice.
I was going to say that's just my standard operating, you know, mode of face.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Jake Melman, trysillygoose.com. Appreciate you. Thank you for your candor.
Drinksillygoose.com.
Drink Silly Goose. What did I say?
Try Silly Goose, which we also have. But yeah.
I was going to say, oh, you own it. Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Drinksillygoose.com. Jake Melman. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Hey, before you go, I was hoping you would check out our new app, Promo Party Pro. It is what I want to be the single best, easiest way to run a free gift with purchase promo on Shopify. We just put it live in the App Store. We've got less than 50 users. We want your feedback. So if you need to run a free gift with purchase promo in the near future, install it, try it. There's a live chat. I check that all the time. And so if you have any issues at all, you know, or any suggestions on how we can make it even easier to use, let us know. We're happy to help. If you want to try it, search Promo Party in the App Store. Promo Party Pro is the app. Give it a shot. It's got a free trial. Thanks.